I want to talk about a lesson that is important, I believe, to every one of us. You can see from the verses that were read in your hearing by Brother Tommy, these verses have to do with us individually. I want to talk about a look at self. And this is what Paul is talking about here in Romans 12 and 3 when he says, "For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." And so here is the admonition to every one of us. He says, "I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you." So this singles out everybody. It applies to everybody today. It applies to me, and it applies to you. Not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. And, of course, you can see that what Paul is addressing here is self. We need to look at self, and that's what he's pointing out. These people in Rome needed to look at themselves. They needed to look at their attitudes to see whether or not they were high-minded and conceited. And also, as Paul wrote to the Corinthians, as Tommy read in the 2 Corinthian letter, in the 13th chapter and in the 5th verse, here he says, "Examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith, prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates." Again, an emphasis upon an examination of self. The Apostle Paul, as he wrote to the Galatians, said also in the 6th chapter of the Galatian letter, and in verse 3, "If any man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself." As you begin to read through the scriptures, you can see a lot of emphasis upon self, the examination of self, to look at self. Somebody might say, "Well, what does self mean?" Well, if you went to a dictionary, it would mean one's own person. And so I need to look at my own person. I need to examine self. And to look, of course, simply means to search and to seek for. So the Bible teaches that I am to examine myself, look at myself. And we can see that every man and every woman needs to examine themselves, and we need to see whether or not we are on the correct course in life. And as you look here in the 2 Corinthian letter, he points out that we can know if we will really look at ourselves. He says, "Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves." Then this expression, "Know ye not your own selves," showing if we truly look at ourselves and examine the facts, we can know ourselves. And so we learn then that we must see ourselves as we really are before God. And the way we see ourselves as we really are before God is to go to the mirror of the soul, to go to the Word of God and look at ourselves in this mirror. The apostle said in the prophet James would say, in James the first chapter, he says in verse 22, "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." You see, here's this word again, deceiving your own selves, showing that I can be self-deceived. "For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and being not a forgetful here, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Now we can see then that we need to be blessed in his deed. We can see then that we need to look in the Word of God to see ourselves as we are. It is a mirror to our soul. Now, one of the most painful examinations that any of us can make is an examination of self. To truly look at self, that is very, very painful. Now, we can look at other people and examine them, and it's easy to put other people up before us and examine them and to see them and to see their faults and their shortcomings. But what is painful is to see ourselves. And so why then do we need to look at ourselves? We need to look at ourselves, going back to the text that I've already read from 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5, to determine whether or not we're in the faith. He said, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Now here is the faith. Here is the gospel. And we're to examine ourselves to see whether or not we are walking by faith and not by sight. Are we doing what the faith teaches? Let's go again to a passage by Paul in 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 13. He says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Then he says, quit you like men or behave like men, be strong. So he says, stand fast in the faith. He would say back in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians and verse 2, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. And back in verse 1, he says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received. And notice, wherein ye stand. We're to stand in the gospel. We are to stand in the faith. We are to examine ourselves to see whether or not we be in the faith. In other words, I am to take my life and I am to measure it according to what the faith teaches. Am I doing what God demands of me in this revelation? So you can see then that we need to examine ourselves to see whether or not we be in the faith and to see whether Jesus Christ is in us. And that's what he goes on to say. He says there, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. Is Christ truly in us? Well, how does Christ abide in us? He abides in us by faith. As you turn on to the third chapter of the Ephesian letter, Paul said in verse 17 that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. So Christ is in us. How does he dwell in us? He dwells in us by faith. Now, if we are in the faith, then Christ indeed is in us. We need to examine ourselves to see if we be in the faith, if Christ be in us. He says, except you be reprobates. We need to examine ourselves to see, are we really standing the test? That's the idea. Are we truly in the faith? Are we standing the test? And because we may not know ourselves. Now, we can know ourselves, but it is possible that we have not looked closely enough at ourselves to truly see ourselves as we really are. He says, examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. You see, there is to be that proving by the standard. Know ye not your own selves? Yes. The question there, Know ye not your own selves? Do you know yourself? A lot of times we say we don't know other people. And sometimes we don't. A lot of times we are completely fooled at other people. Many people live double lives. That's evident. I once knew a man, and I've even preached to him. He's been in the audience where I have preached. He's from this area. I know some of his family. I've known some of them for years. There was a man who lived in this town who was a salesman. And he traveled in this area, and he traveled in another state. This man had two families. Now, that may sound very bizarre, but it was so. He had two families. He had a family here, and he had a family in another state. He had two wives. He had children here. He had children in another state. Finally, of course, he was caught up with. But, you see that on the news. But that happens. You see men, you say, well, here's a fine fellow. And of course, he always worked it out. When you come to the holidays, he'd be with part of the time he'd be the family here, and part of the family he'd be over in the, he'd have to rush back over in the other state. But finally, people realize, and I'm sure his wives, finally, they caught up with him and found out that here is a bigamist. Here is a man that's not what he claims to be. And if I should name him, some of you would even know some of his family, his offspring here, I'm sure. But what I'm trying to say in all of this, sometimes we are really fooled by people. We don't really know them. They live double lives. And so we say, well, I don't know them. Well, sometimes we don't know ourselves. And that's the reason we need to examine ourselves. Let's look at some folks in the New Testament that truly had not examined themselves, who truly did not know themselves as they should have known themselves. Peter is a good example. You remember in the 26th chapter of the book of Matthew, and beginning with about verse 31, then said Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Now, when the Lord said what was going to happen to him, then Peter was always quick to speak before he thought out some things. And Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet I will never be offended. And he said, Lord, everybody else may be offended, but I'll never be offended at you. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet I will not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. Then all the disciples chimed in. They said, we feel the same way Peter does. Did they know themselves when the trying time come? Well, let's just read on in the story. As we read on in the story, on down in the text, it becomes very, very evident, beginning with about verse 69, that Peter didn't know himself. Now, Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, thou also was with Jesus of Galilee. But notice, But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. Now Peter said, this has never happened. Lord, I'll never deny you. And the first thing he did when he was confronted, he denied the Lord. And when he was gone into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that were there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. Notice again in 72, and again he denied with an oath. This time he got stronger. He came out with an oath, I do not know the man. This is the second time. Now this is the Peter that said, I'll die with you. I'll never forsake you. I'll never deny you. But he's already, you see, denied the Lord twice. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech betrayeth thee. Then he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And the Lord told him what would occur, you see, and this had already occurred, and Peter remembered the words of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. And he had already denied the Lord three times by the time the cock crew. Peter didn't know himself. And there's a great lesson. Why did the Lord record that? Well, he recorded that for you and for me, that we might recognize we need to examine self. I need to examine Donald Townsley. I need to see myself. I may think that I have strength that I do not have. The Apostle Paul warned. He said, in the 1 Corinthians letter, in the tenth chapter of that letter, and verse 12, he says, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Here again is a warning that we need to really examine ourselves to see whether or not we are going to be able to stand and to do, and whether or not we're in the faith. Sometimes churches do not know themselves, and the Lord points that out to us. The church at Laodicea did not know itself. Those people did not understand themselves. They thought they were something they were not. The record tells us in Revelation 3:14, unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. The Lord knew them now. Notice, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. In other words, they were lukewarm. So because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I'll spew thee out of my mouth. But I want you to notice now when we get to 17, this was not this congregation's opinion of itself. The Lord said, I'm ready to vomit you up. Literally, that's the idea. You make me sick. But notice what a high opinion they had of themselves. Because thou sayest, I'm rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing. Why? We're complete. We don't need anything. We're just doing fine in every way. And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. That was their true condition. They needed self-examination. They needed to see themselves as a congregation as the Lord saw them, you see. And that'd just be a great lesson here. But we're going to move on because we've got a lot of other things we're going to talk about. But what I'm trying to get you to see is many times we don't know self. And the Lord has given us admonition to look at self, to examine self, to try to understand ourselves. Now, we may commend ourselves and God condemn us. Paul tells us that over in the 2nd Corinthian letter, in the 10th chapter of the 2nd Corinthian letter, and look down in verse 18, 2 Corinthians 10, 18. He says, "For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth." So many times we may commend ourselves, and the Lord doesn't commend us. And we looked at an example of that. There was the church at Laodicea. They commended themselves. "We're great, look at us." But the Lord condemned them, you see. And we need to look back here at verse 12. The Lord warns us about many times why we come so short. Because we don't measure ourselves by the true standard. We go around measuring ourselves by other people. And so he says in verse 12, "For we dare not make ourselves of the number, or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise." Now he says it's not a wise thing to go out here and begin to measure yourself by somebody else, because they may be very short of the standard. And we may be able to say, "Well, I excel. I do better than him." Have you ever heard folks say that, even in the church? Well, that doesn't tell anything. You may be better than him and still be falling short of the standard. The standard is the Word of God. So I think you can see we need to look at ourselves and see ourselves. Well, when should we look at ourselves? Well, I think you know the answer to that. We need to look at ourselves all the time. It has to be a constant thing. And that, of course, is what the Lord tells us about, warns us about in Matthew 25. Here he has talked about the five wise virgins and the foolish virgins. The record tells us in the beginning there, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be like unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish." Now, in the end, you see, the foolish virgins were shut out because they didn't make preparation. We're familiar with the story. But what I want to get to is verse 13, the warning. "Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." Now what is he telling me? You'd better watch all the time. You had better watch all the time and make preparation. "Let every man prove his own work." Going back to a statement made by Paul in Galatians 6. And verse 4. And so we can see then that we need to watch. We need to watch all the time. When we worship and eat the Lord's Supper, we need to watch. We need to examine self. Go back to 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 28. He says, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup." When we come to this part of the worship, we need to look at ourselves, look at our hearts, look at our attitudes toward the death of our Lord, and center our minds back there to Calvary, where Jesus died that you and I might be forgiven of our sins. And we need to be grateful for that. We need to examine ourselves all the time in every relationship of life, because we all come short of the glory of God. from time to time. And we find that we need to mend some things, correct some things. But what keeps us from seeing ourselves? Why do I have such a hard time seeing myself? Well, Paul tells me, going back to the text we started with there in the 12th chapter, conceit. He says there in verse 3, "But I say unto you through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think more highly than, not to think more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." So he warns me that I may think more highly of myself than I ought to think. That is a danger. I can be conceited. On down there in verse 16, he says, "Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things," you see. He admonishes us there. And then he says, "But condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise," this last statement now, "be not wise in your own conceits." Now, who's he say that to? He says that to me. He says that to you, because there is a danger. Well, what is conceit? It's the idea is wise with oneself. Egotism and pride and vanity, overestimation of self, a self-flattering opinion of self. You say, can that happen to me? Sure, it can happen to me, and it can happen to you. All of us can have a self-flattering opinion, and it causes us then to what? To exalt ourselves above our true station in life. What does it do? Well, it causes us to blind our eyes to our real littleness before God. And you think about how little we all are. Every one of us in this house today that are Christians, we have been saved by grace through faith. By the exercising of our faith, we have enjoyed God's grace. But it was God's grace that was extended to us, and it was his grace that provided his son for us. It was by his grace his son died and shed his blood that you and I might have the remission of our sins. Now, we all stand before God righteous, not because we have earned it, but because we've been forgiven, you see. We've obeyed the gospel, and we've had the remission of our sins, and when we sinned after we obeyed the gospel, when we've sinned, we've asked God to forgive us, and he is the propitiation, Jesus is the propitiation for our sins. And as we have repented and confessed our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of all our sins, 1 John 1 and verse 9. And therefore, you and I can stand before God forgiven because he has forgiven us through his grace. Through his grace and his love, he has provided salvation through his son. I am very little before God. I am nothing. I really deserve to be lost. But God loved me, and God loves you, and has loved you and has loved me and has made this rich provision. And therefore, I need to recognize that I am not some great one. Sometimes, we may begin to think that, like Simon the sorcerer. In the 8th chapter of the book of Acts, he began to think that he was a great one. And he went around giving out that he was a great one. Let's look there in verse 9 of the 8th chapter of Acts. "But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out he that himself was some great one. And sometimes you and I can be conceited and begin to think, well, look who we are some great one. And a good example of that, and we're all familiar with this, in the 18th chapter of the book of Luke, here is the Pharisee. And what was his problem? Well, he thought he was a great one. Beginning with verse 9 of the 18th chapter of Luke, the record says, "And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others." So you can readily see what his problem was. You can readily see his conceit. You can readily see that his self-righteousness had brought him to the place that he could not see himself, but he could only see the faults of others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood up and prayed thus with himself, "God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even this publican." And we're not careful, you and I can take on this same attitude, you see. The truth of the Lord set this forth. I can become conceited and I can begin to say, well, I'd never commit that sin. I'm here to tell you today, I don't know what sin I would commit. I hope I would commit no sin, but I know I do sin. I hope I would not commit some of the heinous sins I see men commit, but I might commit those sins. I don't want to commit those sins, but you and I need to understand that we are in flesh, we are frail, and whenever we look at other men's sins and see their frailty, if we had been in the same circumstance, we might have committed the same sin. That's what Paul is saying in Galatians 6. So that is the reason you and I have to be merciful toward one another. And this is the reason many times that we fail to see our own faults. We see others well, and we begin to think that we are some great one when we're not. We need to be little in our own eyes. You know, Saul did well, Samuel said. He became king, like in 1 Samuel 15 and verse 17, when he was little in his own eyes, when he didn't think great of himself, but when he began to think of himself to be some great one and a great king, what did he do? Then he began to violate the will of Almighty God. Conceit keeps me from seeing self. You get in an argument with your wife. Now then, many times, why do you not admit that she's right many times when she is right? Why do we keep holding out sometimes? Well, conceit. that's what I'm trying to tell us. That's a great fault. Conceit. We fail to acknowledge that we have been wrong on a human level with one another. And of course, that gets to be wrong even before God. But many times we become conceited and we fail to acknowledge to God our weakness and our frailty and our shortcomings. And this is the reason many times we don't see ourselves. Conceit. And then the fault-finding spirit. We've seen that in here, the Pharisee. But Jesus deals with it. In the 7th chapter, you see, of the book of Matthew, he deals with the harsh, censorious judgment many times that we deal out to people. And we deal it out because we don't understand all the circumstances. You know that years ago, there used to be many books to teach the children. Some basic moral lessons. The Bible teaches all that we need, but also it's good to have books that teach moral lessons that drive home great lessons that the Lord teaches. I remember my grandmother used to tell me a story. It used to make me cry, and I used to like for her to tell me the story. And I guess children need to be teary-eyed, and they need to think about some things. She used to tell me a story about Patchy. This, I forget what book this came out of. And it was the little boy that wore patch clothes, and he also wore a sack around his neck. And people made fun of him for carrying the sack, and then the children were mean, and you know, sometimes children can be cruel to one another. And finally they ran Patchy down, and they got the sack from around his neck. And when they got the sack from around his neck, then there was a piece of calico cloth in there. And Patchy then told the story. His mother was dead. You see, he didn't have anybody to take care of him, just somebody maybe in the community that took care of him. And there he was carrying this piece of calico cloth to remember his mother. And then the children all understood Patchy. They understood he was poor and he didn't have any mother, and there was another side to it. Maybe I don't remember all the story, but I do remember that was impressed upon me as a little boy. Didn't understand the circumstances, and that's the way we are many times. Many times we are harsh to judge, and we're censorious in our judgment when we don't understand all of the circumstances. And this is what Jesus is saying here in Matthew 7. Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that's in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that's in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast the mote out of thy brother's eye. He well pictures what we do many times. We become very censorious, and we deal out our harsh judgment upon others many times when we have a log in our own eye. We have a beam in our own eye that we need to get out. But we don't see ourselves because we have allowed a fault-finding spirit to develop in our hearts. And then, as Paul warned there in Galatians 6:3, we begin to think we're something when we're nothing. We become deceived and self-deceived. Jeremiah made a statement in Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things. We have to be honest with ourselves, to see ourselves. And God, this is it, God wants us to see ourselves as we are before Him. And we need to all look at ourselves. Why? To improve ourselves. That's what it's all about. To improve ourselves. Some questions that will help us see ourselves quickly. Am I fair? Am I fair with God? He's fair with me. Israel on occasions didn't think God was fair with them. You go back to Ezekiel 33 and verse 17. Yet the children of thy people say, the way of the Lord is not equal. But as for them, their way is not equal. You go back and read the context there in Ezekiel 33. That they charged the Lord. They said, he's not equal. He doesn't deal with us equally. He did deal with them equally. He dealt with them according to their obedience to him. And when they were disobedient, of course, they came under his condemnation. And I need to ask myself, am I fair with God? Have I obeyed the gospel? Am I living a righteous life? If not, I'm not fair with God. I need to be fair with God. I need to be fair with Jesus Christ. And to be fair with Jesus Christ is to not be ashamed of Him and not be ashamed of His Word. Like in the book of Mark, Jesus tells us in the 38th verse of the 8th chapter, "Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words, and this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with his holy angels." Do I stand up for the gospel and for the truth? Am I fair with the Lord? Do I keep his commandments? And then am I fair? Am I fair with myself? I need to ask myself. And that's what we're talking about. Am I really fair with myself? Do I see myself as I am? Have I lived up to the truth as it is revealed in the Word of God? Do I strive to be what the Lord would have me be? Am I fair with my companion? And many passages could be dealt with showing how we are to be fair. Paul deals in 1 Corinthians 7. The fairness that is to be between husband and wife. In Ephesians 5, how we are to love our wives as we love our own bodies. Do we treat our companion fairly? Do we treat our brethren fairly? Do we live up to the golden rule? As Jesus stated it in the 7th chapter of the book of Matthew in verse 12. He says, "Therefore all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even to them, for this is the law and the prophets." So I need to recognize that I need to be fair with God, and I need to be fair with myself, and I need to try to see myself and be fair with the Lord. And then I need to ask myself this, am I unstable in character? Am I double-minded? You know, as we look through the Bible, we find Reuben, back in the Old Testament, one of the sons of Jacob. This statement is made about him in Genesis 49 and 4. "Unstable as water thou shalt not excel, because thou wentest upon thy father's bed and did defile it." And then he says, "Then defilest thou it? He went up on my couch." And of course, the idea, what he did, he lay with Bilhah. You see that back in Genesis 35 and verse 22. He was very, very unstable in character. He was weak in the flesh. He was unstable. He was lustful. And he did not excel. The Lord said he wouldn't. Well, the same is true with us.